This is Out and About on Peoria Public Radio. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Suzette Boulay with Arts Partners of Central Illinois. We're here with Brian Blanks from Cornstalk Theater. Their production of the musical The Wiz opens tonight at the Tent in Upper Bradley Park. Brian, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Just to refresh my memory, this is the first time that The Wiz has been presented at the Tent by Cornstalk?
Yeah, it's the first time The Wiz has been produced at Cornstalk and actually the story of The Wizard of Oz in general. So we're really excited about that.
Well, now we all know this story through both of its incarnations, and there's a lot going on. There's a lot of different scenes that you move through, and the Tent is a challenging place to pull off those kinds of transformations. So has that informed the choices that you've made with your set and your tech?
Yeah, absolutely. The choreographer and myself going into this knew that this show had to be seamless. It has to move. It's all about energy and the music and the drive of the music. So therefore, the costumes, the scenery, it all has to be seamless. And each scene that we do, even the scene changes are considered choreography. It builds into the scene to keep that momentum driving. It's been a challenge as a director, but it's been fun, and it forced me to be more creative with my scene changes.
And talk a little bit about that. This is an iconic performance for you, that as a little boy you were raised on Michael Jackson.
Absolutely. I remember when I was younger, my mom had brought home this VHS of this, and I had seen The Wizard of Oz, but I had never seen The Wiz before, and I absolutely fell in love. Could not stop singing the songs, just would run it over and over and over again. And I think for a lot of the cast members, it was the same story. You know, this means so much for us to have seen, you know, performers like Michael Jackson, Diana Ross, and to be able to kind of play those iconic roles in this production has been just a dream for me. Even though it sounds cliche, but it is. It's a dream.
Well, like you were saying, these are some really iconic characters, both from The Wiz and from The Wizard of Oz, and lots of people will have read the original novels. How, as a director, do you go about casting these roles? What are you looking for in someone to play, say, you know, the Cowardly Lion or the Scarecrow? Because these are characters that we all go into the theater with a pretty strong sense in our head of who they are.
The audience, like you said, walks in with kind of an expectation. So I was extremely nervous at auditions. I knew that. Because you have in mind of what you want for each role. But a lot of times as a director, you have to kind of, you know, adjust your plan. It's all about compromising and, you know, adjusting. But for each one vocally, they had to be able to have the vocal chops. Like I said, this show is driven by the music. But then again, these are characters. These are interesting characters that, you know, have a range of emotion, even though it's a short show. And it is the story of The Wizard of Oz. There's a definite message in this. So I had to have actors that had the singing chops, had to have actors that could actually pull off the characters, and then choreography. If you see this show, the choreography is intense and creative. So they had to be triple threats. So I knew that going into it.
And talk about the message. Obviously, it means a lot to you.
The message to me, I think, in The Wiz is about these three friends that Dorothy meets on her journey. And they ultimately are looking for something individually, whether it's a heart, whether it's intelligence, whether it's courage. But yet they all have those insecurities and they all find the answer for that through the relationship that they have. And I think the music helps tell that story in each song that they sing, and where they start and where they end their journey. It's just in the song Home, you just it kind of sums all of that up, and you just get chills every time you hear it. And just even thinking about it, I get chills.
Just from what I've been able to see on Facebook and emails, I'm seeing a lot of faces in this production that I haven't seen before. It looks like you've got a lot of new people that you've brought to the theater for this show. Did you spend a lot of time going out and trying to find people, or for the most part, were these people who heard the show was being produced and they wanted to be a part of it?
I think it was a combination of both. I think there was some interest in an adult production of the show, especially the first time being at Cornstalk. But I also probably started my recruitment for the show months earlier than I normally would, because I knew I had to have that right cast for the show. So I would say, yeah, I probably recruited a little bit harder and more rigorously than I would have in a normal production.
You know, I hear directors talk about that a lot, and not being a director myself, I sort of have no idea what goes into that. So when did you start recruiting? I mean, how long a process is that?
Yeah, probably 2 months when I really started to hit it hard. I had contacted District 150 and Sharon Reed to help me kind of get the message out to an audience of people that normally wouldn't audition for Cornstalk. Facebook, we did Facebook blasts through social media a lot earlier than I normally would. If you were my Facebook friend, I'm sure you probably got annoyed by me a little bit. But it's just something I think we had to do. And I think at auditions, when I saw 80 people, 80 talented people come out, I hope that that was, I mean, it was worth all of the effort.
I almost get the impression that this show means so much to you, you had to honor it through the talent. You absolutely had to have it.
That's absolutely correct. And like I said, it's not one of those shows where you can just have, you know, a solid group of singers or a solid group of dancers or strong actors, especially those principals, the Lion, the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, Dorothy. Those four have to be able to tell this story through all three of those, which is really hard. It's a really hard thing to do. Even as an actor, for me, it's something that I always struggle with, and I have to really pay attention to all three. So that was really important to me.
So of those 80 people that you saw at auditions, how many of them did you end up casting?
We have 35 in our show. So yeah, we had to turn, you know, quite a few people away. But some of them, even that didn't make the show, are still working backstage, which I, once again, I think is a testament to how important this musical is to people.
And this doesn't happen very often where we're talking to both the director and a member of the
yes.
cast. Talk about that.
Yeah, that wasn't my original plan, but the gentleman who was playing our Tin Man had prior commitments that did not work out with our show dates. So I went to my choreographer and my music director, and I said, this is your decision. I have to step out of this. So I guess the decision that came out of it was that I was going to step into the role. And at first, I was scared, because as a director, I'm very nitpicky. I like to see the whole picture. And when I'm stepping into the picture, therefore, I can't see that picture. So at first, it was really hard. But then I looked around and I said, someone pinch me. I was able to work with these actors for 6 weeks, expressing my vision to them. Then for 2 weeks, I got to step in and be able to be a part of that vision. And I've never had an experience like that. And it's just working with these actors and these singers and these dancers has just been utterly rewarding. I don't know if you guys know Brandon Chandler. He's done quite a bit of theater, and we've been in shows together, but this is the first time that we've been able to actually do something together on stage. And the same with Gabby Rogers and Aaron Jones. And it's just, I think we've all clicked.
I can tell you've got a triple threat in him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. His opening song that he sings is just going to send chills up your spine. It's just amazing.
Now, I discovered this show when I was, I guess, high school age. So the movie adaptation had been out for a while. I just hadn't seen it.
Mm-hmm.
But even at that, one of the things that surprised me is how familiar all of the music was. Because even though I'd never seen the show, I'd never mm-hmm. watched the movie, I knew the music because it had played on radio. So it's one of those experiences where you go to the show and you go, I didn't know that song was
yeah.
from this. And are you having that experience with your cast, or are these mostly people who knew the show in some sense?
There are a couple of cast members who I don't think were as familiar with the show. They maybe knew the movie version or didn't know the stage version, or they may have known just the stage version and not the movie. But I think, like you said, I think what's so interesting in this, and it doesn't happen as much now, but when The Wiz came about, those songs were on the radio. Ease On Down the Road, you know, Diana Ross's Home, covered by so many artists, and you don't see that as much anymore. It wasn't just musical theater folks who were drawn to this production. It was, you know, it was pop culture in general.
What's it like working in these tent?
I was nervous when I found out that I got the August slot, because usually the August slot is extremely hot. We have lucked out with the best weather. I mean, this weather's perfect. So for audience members, if you usually don't like going to a Cornstalk show because of the heat in August, the show's short. It moves along really fast, and it's a nice night. So far, it has been. So we'll keep crossing our fingers for good weather.
Do you bring the people in and out of the aisle?
Oh, absolutely.
Is that part of the shtick?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that, to me, that's one of the greatest things about staging stuff there, is because you can have actors moving in at different entrances. Usually, you have just stage right, stage left. With this, we have the trim that we use. We have four different ramps, so it's constant. It's just very visually stimulating overall.
I would think, having not watched your rehearsals, but one of the advantages that the tent would give you is, I'm a big fan of the cyclone scene at mm-hmm. the very beginning, and the idea of being able to do that in the round, where instead of doing it on a proscenium where the audience is 20 feet away, but you can do that right in front of them and sort of do it in three dimensions.
Yeah.
That must be a real opportunity for a choreographer.
Oh, absolutely. And Sarah Haynes has done an absolute wonderful job with this choreography. The tornado dance starts act one after a ballad sung by Jasmine, who's playing our Aunt Em, and it literally is a scene change. We go from Kansas to Munchkin Land all in one song. So down in the pit, you have all of these dancers. They're right up there. It's intimate. It's immediate. It's right there in your face. And then the Munchkins come on, and we just flip that energy at a snap. And it's just, her choreography just helps tell a story. It's not just a dance.
And what kind of message are you trying to share by using a nearly all African-American cast?
I think part of doing this show was, Cornstalk really wants to encourage diversity, not only among our cast members and our organization and family that we have, but for audiences as well. But saying that, I don't think that it ends with this. I don't think that we always have to do white shows or black shows. My hope is that after this show, we've tapped into a new group of talent, And why can't we have a production of Oklahoma where we have a black Curly and a white Lori? I think we're moving towards colorblind casting, and I hope that it doesn't just end with a production like The Wiz that's, you know, race-based, is my hope.
We've been talking with Brian Blanks about Cornstalk Theater's production of The Wiz. The show opens tonight. It continues through Saturday the 10th. Brian, break a leg.
Thank you very much.
Nathan, hard to believe it's First Friday again, but First Friday means the art gallery tours take place tonight from 5 to 9 p.m. at nearly a dozen locations. During the art tours, you'll see lots of oil paintings, sculpture, printmaking, ceramics, glass, pottery, and woodworking, just to name a few. Stop on by and support the many wonderful artistic efforts of our Central Illinois visual artists. Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
Our producer is Nikki Garibrand. You can learn more about Peoria Public Radio when you visit us on the web at peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About.